Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for hanging on these 2 hours. We're in the third hour right now, and this is really going to be a treat. We have several people tuning in tonight because just to hear these two gentlemen. And who are these two gentlemen? There are, if you everybody knows, Gene, the bitter ender himself, Andrews. As a matter of fact, Gene asked Gene not a while ago, said, are you still bitter? He said, he's more bitter than ever. He's what we call him, the bitter ender, because after the fighters, they fought to the very end. They battled the British to the very end, and the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, the Afrikaners. Anyway, and we also have a fellow on who I admire as much as anybody I know. We have two of the guys on tonight, two of the men on tonight. I can say I can probably name them two hands, maybe run out of fingers of the men I respect left in this country. I guess I'm just getting, you know, I'm not that great myself, but I. Maybe my standards are too high, but there's just very few men left in this country that you can really look up to and respect. We got two of them tonight. We just had Gene. We also have Sam Dixon. Sam Dixon's been around. Dr. Michael Hill tells me that Sam is one of the original founders of the League of the South. Anyway, he's coming on tonight. And what I'm going to do, y'all know the drill. They've been listening to Blood River Radio. I'm going to bring these guys in and out of the breaks. I'm pretty much just going to lay back. And I'll just make any comments I have, I'll make them when we come back from the break. That way I won't interrupt the flow. And so we're going to try it now. Gene's going to take over the helmsman. He's going to take over the wheel and kind of run this program. And he pretty much knows what Sam wants to talk about. And Gene knows what he wants to talk about. So how you doing tonight, Gene?
Doing great. And thank you, Eddie, for allowing me to be on the program with Sam. He has always been one of my heroes. I've heard him speak at American Renaissance Conference at the League of the South, and just really a great individual. And I just appreciate his knowledge on history and legal matters, and it's just going to be a treat for our listeners to listen to Sam tonight.
Got that. Well, I couldn't agree more, and I've always said this before, so I hope the people will bear with me. The first time I ever heard Brother Sam speak, we were in what I call the Quad City. We have Muscle Shoals, Tuscumbia, Sheffield, and Florence, Alabama. And we were over there back, I think it was in 2007, and at a Council of Conservative Citizens meeting, and a fellow asked Sam Dixon, it went something like this. He said, you know, Sam, the country's in such a hell of a shape. White men are laying down. White men are not doing anything. When are white men ever going to stand up and do anything to save this country? And Sam says something like, if my memory serves, he said, well, when white men lose everything, they'll lose it. And then that's when their kids are starving, like the little Ethiopian children, and their bellies are sticking out from malnutrition, and the flies are around them, and they've lost every single thing, then they'll be ready to revolt. But will they be too broken, too beat down to do anything? Well, and I've been a follower of Sam Dixon ever since then. I respect him as much as anybody I know of. And how are you doing tonight, Sam? Go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners, fella.
Well, I'm broke. I listened to all this stuff from Gene, and I was just thinking how much my contractor is going to charge to widen the doorway to get my big swollen door. Actually, I'm very humble. As Churchill said about Clement Attlee, I'm a very humble man, and I have a lot to be humble about. So I'm the great admirer of Gene's doors. So we had the old song in the 1950s, we belong to a mutual admiration society.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know anybody that doesn't admire you.
Eddie had asked me back during the early part of the week to just kind of give an update on part of one of our segments about our Forest Homecoming event we had at the Nathan Bedford Forest Home down at Chapel Hill, Tennessee, back on the 17th of the month. And or last month, we were already in July now. And so it went over great. It's an all-day event, and we have historical speakers, we have music, we have reenactors and out there firing cannons and cavalry and infantry and all sorts of vendors set up to sell Confederate things. And there are Confederate flags all over the grounds there. And it's just a great event to come to. And you don't have to be afraid about somebody criticizing you and saying, oh, that flag offends me, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Everybody there is pretty much of the same mind. And very patriotic Southerners. They're proud of the Southern history. And they're proud to be out somewhere where you can show your Southern pride and your Southern history and not be ashamed of it or shamed by the media or somebody like that of it. Had an interesting speaker there, John Hill. And he is a great-great-grandson of Confederate General A.P. Hill. And he told about all the things he had to go through to fight the communist government in Virginia to get his great-great-grandfather's body removed from the gravesite there where they tore down the A.P. Hill monument in Richmond, and to get that body back to a member of the family, a descendant of the family, and get it moved to a private cemetery. And it's just unbelievable what the government in Richmond and Virginia was trying to do to stifle all of his efforts to do that. And he's been speaking around the country and telling people what happened and they're raising money for a Confederate park there in Virginia where they can try to salvage some of these monuments that have been taken down in Richmond and put them in a place where they won't be destroyed. So wish him the very best and wish him well and hope he is successful in his efforts to try to preserve some of our history and our historical monuments. So that was a good event. We had a good day. Weather was great. For a summer day, we had a nice breeze and quite a few people came out, so went very well. There is our report, our up-to-date reporter on the street giving you the information there. So, Sam, what all have you been up to recently that you can tell us about? I know it's been interesting. What have you been doing?
Well, maybe just working. Work a day, work a dollar. I envy people who have enough time to be bored. I've never had enough time in my life to be bored. I've always wanted to borrow the time of people who tell me they're bored. I could use an extra 40 or 50 hours a week. But I've been working on trying to rescue a building of mine that's been attacked by the Antifa here in Atlanta. And the police will not give me a police report. The black policewoman said that, and this is her emphasis, we're not giving you a police report. But anyway, that the encounter with the black policewoman was a couple months ago. But I've been over there with my contractor trying to see what can be done to remedy the damages and to try to safeguard it from future attacks by Antifa.
Okay.
So,
yeah, well, that's the scary thing in this country. The so-called law enforcement agencies in this country pick and choose how they want to enforce the law. And if you're not on their special list, then that's tough. That's just too bad.
Statistic, Gene, and one of the good things is that one of the greatest achievements of Trump, maybe inadvertently, is the fact that for the first time, the eyes of maybe 150 million Americans of European Christian descent have seen what the FBI really is. I've been at this a long time, since I was about 15 years old, and that's over 50 years ago, considered over 60 years ago. And I remember having to keep my teeth really clenched together as I listened to all these fools back in the 60s and 70s carry on about the great FBI, the wonderful J. Edgar Hoover, and all this stuff. I was fortunate. I knew a little bit about what a scoundrel he was and but a horrible organization the FBI is. But now large numbers of people know. So this is a great step forward. The illusions have been
absolutely
stopped. But yes, they will not protect us. And you want to talk about July 4th, and I do too. But, you know, people forget things that are very important. And rather than carrying on about how Biden is supposedly suffering from outsiders or whatever, the fact that in his last debate with Trump, when asked if his administration would ever prosecute an Antifa criminal if he got elected, he's a man of his word, and he looked into the cameras, and he had promised the American people that if he became president, no Antifa would ever be prosecuted. And this is a promise that he has kept, that he will allow thugs that are on his side to intimidate and attack people who disagree with him. And he's kept that promise. Here in Atlanta, we've had an Antifa spree in which they have bombed three police cars on three separate occasions and blown them up. They threw eight bombs at the cops in their attack on the police training academy. They've done $2 million worth of damage to the construction site, and almost 30 of them have been indicted for terrorism, but all by the state. Neither the FBI nor the ATF have indicted a single one of them. So we live in a country in which Marxist thugs can go and bomb police cars. They can throw bombs at the police. They can attack a police training academy. They can shoot a policeman. And the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms will not do one thing because we have a president who's on their side.
No, that's true.
Wrong about that? I think it's quite clear. Biden's made it quite clear, and he's kept his promise.
Yes, he has, and one of the few that he has kept, but he did keep that one. Mm-hmm. And and I think Eddie and I saw firsthand how corrupt the law enforcement in this country is or has become when we went to Charlottesville and were attacked by Antifa, and the only people that were brought to trial, of course, the police chief told the police to stand down and let the Antifa go after us. We'll go into that after the break and the aftermath of that.
I can't wait to hear Sam Dixon talk some more on you too, Gene. Be right back, folks.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, that's Blood River Radio's motto. I tell you what, I've said this before, I'll say it again. That was the guerrilla general on Planet of the Apes. That was a general that knows the score. And Sam Dixon could tell you that the only thing that matters in this country right now, with the FBI running roughshod over everybody, is raw merciless force. Mao Zedong said it best when he said that all political power comes at the end of the gun barrel. And that, I better shut up. We go back to our prize guest tonight, our brother, your brother, our friend, Sam Dixon. Sam, if we have time, I'd love you to tell that funny story, but that might, you may not want to tell it on the air. But anyway, Sam, I'm just knocked off. I'm knocked off my feet. What you told us, we talked about the FBI and how quick they were. But anyway, I'll go right back to you, Sam. Take up wherever you want to take up, brother.
Well, Gene was saying about Charlottesville, and this is a very interesting story. I've spoken to small groups. I always speak to small groups because it's hard to have a meeting in free America because we're not allowed to have meetings. Hotels cancel our contracts and. Thugs call in and threaten, bomb threats, and get their way and aren't prosecuted. So it's difficult for us to have a meeting. But anyway, I often ask these people, has anybody in the room heard of the Heafy Report? And usually only one or two people raise their hand. And this was an investigation that was done by a former federal prosecutor named Timothy Heafy, who was hired by the city of Charlottesville to do the definitive investigation on what happened on that, at the Unite the Right rally that Gene was talking about. Well, there are some honest people, and this guy's an honest guy. He talked to me and wanted to interview me, and I told him I would only be interviewed by in writing. And he sent me questions, and I answered the questions. And I told him my default position in dealing with somebody is that he or she is a straight-up guy or gal until I have other reason to believe that. But I said it's just impossible for me to believe that you could turn in an honest report when your client has hired you to help with the whitewashing. But he did. And he's the one that brought out, as Gene was saying, that the first African-American police chief in Charlottesville ordered the police from three different police agencies not to enforce the criminal laws of West Virginia, of Virginia, but to let these people commit their crimes so as to provide a means to prevent us white people from having a rally. This, of course, is totally illegal. If this had ever been done by a Southern sheriff in the civil rights movement, the FBI, the Justice Department had him in a federal courtroom before you could say New York City. But nothing, of course, was done to him. But he also brought out that the police chief had tried to obstruct his investigation by threatening cops. That if they told Heafy what he had done, he'd have their job. As a result, the police chief had to resign 48 hours after the report came out. And our great media did a splendid job of not reporting any of this. It was reported on National Public Radio. They had somebody, they interviewed the vice president of the NAACP in Charlottesville, who explained that the police chief had been forced out because of residual white racism in Virginia. And that was their explanation. But anyway, we now know from the city's own lawyer that what Gene said is true, that we were the victims of these crimes. And you know perfectly well that people like Anderson Cooper and the reporters on National Public Radio and the journalists in the New York Times, they all know it too. But they go on lying day after day after day, lie after lie after lie about what happened. You cannot expand your imagination enough to get to just what scum these people are.
It's amazing. If people don't think we're living in the old Soviet Union, they're delusional. They're kidding themselves. And here's the aftermath of Charlottesville. The only people that were put on trial were the people who organized the event. None of the Antifas that attacked people, threw Molotov cocktails at us, that threw bags of urine and feces at us, that threw glass jars full of screws and nails at us, that sprayed people with pepper spray. Not a single one of them ever went on trial, but the people that organized the Unite the Right, they drugged them into trials in there in Charlottesville. It's kind of like the Nuremberg trials. They were just fake trials that were set up. They were already guilty when they got there. They just wanted to have a trial to make it look semi-legitimate. And that was the other galling thing about it, that not only was that day in August a sham, but the so-called legal system that came in after it was a sham as well. And that was just total hypocrisy.
One of the things that I've marveled at all my life, I've been a lawyer now for over 50 years, and starting back even when I was in my 20s, I had people that were on our side, very extreme people, far more extreme than the three of us, who would come to me and want to file lawsuits and stuff. And it was remarkable that these people who had a very revolutionary attitude toward the system, they somehow believe that once one of these people puts on a black robe, that he becomes a straight shooter, that you can actually go to the courts and get justice. You can't go to the courts and get justice. You know, the courts exist to protect the government and to do what the government wants.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're a genuine, now if you're a communist, you can get justice because there's always been a residual admiration. Back in the McCarthy era, the courts would protect communists and their rights because they have always had access to first-rate lawyers. Lawyers have always been able to defend them without losing their jobs or being attacked as our lawyers are. But we as white nationalists and all the other words they call us, we cannot go to court and get justice. And people need to realize that. It's a revolutionary act to realize what the system is and to pull the plug on loyalty. And that brings us, or should bring us, Gene, to what you wanted to say about the 4th of July.
Right. We were talking before we came on the air about how I do not celebrate the 4th of July. As a Southerner, that holiday is an insult. And yes, the Southerners won the first war for independence. Our Yankee allies were ready to bail out and cut a deal with the British, but it was the Southerners that continued the war and finally defeated the British at Yorktown and got us out of that mess. But then years later, we were not allowed to celebrate our independence like the colonists were, who celebrated their independence from King George III and the British Empire, but we were not allowed to celebrate our independence from King Abraham I and the Yankee Empire. And they turned on us and waged a much, much, much more brutal war against us than the British waged against the American colonists. When you look at what happened to the southern cities and compare that to what the British did to Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Charleston, Savannah, they just occupied the city. That was it. They were living there. But then you look at these old photographs of Richmond and Petersburg and Columbia, South Carolina, and Charleston and Atlanta and Jackson, Mississippi, and what the Northern armies did to those cities, they just reduced them to rubble, basically. And, so why should we celebrate being forced to be in an empire like that? It's just, and the other thing about it was, 4th of July is not a great day for the South in 1863. Vicksburg surrendered, and the 4th of July in Pennsylvania, the battle, both armies were on opposite sides of the battlefield staring each other down. But then Lee decided on the night of July 4th to withdraw from Pennsylvania and try to collect up all the supplies that they had gathered while they'd been up there and collect all the wounded they could get that weren't within federal lines and get back to Virginia. So it was not a great day for the South on July 4th, 1863. And I've read several places that they never celebrated the 4th of July in Vicksburg until World War II came along. So it was 80 years before they would even recognize the 4th of July in Vicksburg, Mississippi.
I tell you, that's further than that. I have problems with the original 4th of July. And you're correct, but you understate your case. There is no comparison between George III and Abraham Lincoln. George III was a Christian gentleman. George III was not a tyrant. Jefferson lied about George III. And that's well known to historians. He goes to the Declaration of Independence. It is a collection of lies. And
Sam, we have to go to a break. We'll Hold that thought, Sam. We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back to you as soon as this break's over with. Be right back, folks.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. Homeland Security announced that it's expanding the daily number of slots for illegal immigrants to schedule appointments to come into the United States to 1,450 a day. That's 200 more slots per day. The slots are scheduled through the smartphone app CBP One, which the Biden administration is billing as a lawful pathway for illegal immigrants who don't have legal visa to enter the United States to apply for entry anyway. A divided Supreme Court outlaws affirmative action when it comes to college admissions. Politicians are split as they react to the high court ruling. USA News's Laura Winters reports.
A mix of reactions to the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that colleges and universities can no longer use race as a factor in admissions decisions. Here's President Biden.
This has done more to unravel basic rights and basic decisions than any court in recent history.
Former Vice President Mike Pence, who's a GOP presidential candidate, praising the ruling.
I'm grateful to see the conservative majority that we helped build on the Supreme Court of the United States bring an end to most of affirmative action.
South Carolina Republican Senator Tim Scott, who is also running for president, says the Supreme Court made the right choice.
This is the day where we understand that being judged by the content of our character, not the color of our skin, is what our Constitution wants.
A SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket carrying a new European Space Agency telescope launched out of Cape Canaveral, Florida today, beginning an unprecedented study of dark matter. NASA's hoping the telescope will shed new information on dark matter, which has never been detected. Former president and 2024 Republican hopeful Donald Trump is hitting the campaign trail this weekend. The former president speaking in South Carolina today. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back to Mr. Sam Dixon, my brother, your friend, a true Renaissance man, warrior, or one of the, you know, he's a warrior, Renaissance culture, you name it. That's Sam Dixon, but he's going to tell us about why he's really not a fan of the first Independence Day, so to speak, of 1776, when the Sodom of the Potomac declared it is independence from King George. Go ahead, Sam. I'm really interested to hear that myself. You said that you were a fan of King George, but not, well, no, none of us like Lincoln, but I know very little about King George, so let us know all about us, Brother Sam.
Well, he was a very conscientious man. There's a book that's come out recently called America's Last King, which is a biography of George III. It's rather a big book. But, you know, during the French Revolution afterwards, from the time of the French Revolution down to about 1814, when I think George III died, he was a symbol all over Europe of civilization and Christianity and order and sense. as these murderous fanatics were burning churches and killing priests and killing aristocrats and murdering monarchs and all the kind of stuff. He was a symbol of order and decency. He never arrested members of Parliament, as Abraham Lincoln arrested members of Congress, even the Civil War in America, which it was, because a lot of people in America supported the king. He never unleashed his soldiers on the civilian population. As Gene said, he didn't burn cities down. If we're to consider George III a tyrant, as Jefferson did in his propaganda piece called The Declaration of Independence, what must we think of someone like Abraham Lincoln, who was 100 times worse? But anyway, the greatest complaint I have about the American about the 4th of July and the way it's celebrated is that it has always been used as a way to drive a wedge between us and our European and Anglo-Saxon heritage. Our ideas of freedom were things that Thomas Jefferson came up with at Monticello. Washington came up at Mount Vernon. All these things came to us from Britain, from England and Scotland. Well, our ancestors had hammered these ideas out over a period of some 13 or 14 centuries of living together on that island. And it's a terrible thing that you turn children against their parents. And we see this today in America with people go on Oprah Winfrey and they talk about how awful their parents were and this kind of thing. This is a really sick thing. And we have turned our people against our European heritage. Our heritage is Anglo-Saxons. We didn't begin in 1776 on July 4th. Our civilization goes back thousands of years to Rome and Greece. And to Hengist and Horsa, and the Anglo-Saxons who came to Britain. Our Bill of Rights, people in America, they're taught so little in history class that people in America think that Nixon typed out the Bill of Rights. No, the template of the Bill of Rights was the Declaration of Rights of the British Parliament in 1689, which was signed by the King, William. King William signed it and committed the monarchy that there would be no more effort by the monarch to establish an absolute monarchy like existed in Spain and France, that they would be under the law and they would respect the traditional rights of Anglo-Saxons, like the right to a lawyer, a right to a jury trial, a right to freedom of speech. All these things came to us as Anglo-Saxons, and yet we're told on July 4th by British tyranny. Britain was the freest country on earth. In 1776, the United States, Americans enjoyed freedom that was undreamed of in places like China and Africa and Latin America and Spain. All these things came to us through our English history, our heritage, and it was a terrible thing. It is a terrible thing to tell people to hate and despise the heritage that gave us things like the King James Bible, Shakespeare, our language. Our idea of a parliament or a congress, all these things that come to us as Anglo-Saxons, it's a terrible thing. It's like getting kids to go on Oprah Winfrey and badmouth their parents. It's a bad thing for those kids, and it's bad for the American people, for white people in America, to be exploited by this misuse of July the 4th.
That is why I always enjoy listening to Sam. He brings up such interesting topics
Yes.
that normally you never think of. And you just think you're supposed to go out and shoot firecrackers and wave the flag and burn up some hamburgers and hot dogs on July the 4th, and that's
Yeah.
it. But what he pointed out of what we turned against and are turning against in this country today is our European English-speaking heritage that we're throwing away. And we're told we're supposed to be ashamed of it, and we're horrible people just because we were born white, and all the garbage that's being pumped out today. And you're absolutely right. The children in the American colonies turned against their parents or their parental heritage back over in England, and now we're trying to indoctrinate the children today to turn against their parental heritage and the history of their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and what they did in this country. So that is an outstanding parallel of what happened in 1776 and what's going on in 2023.
The boss Jew in America, I think, in the first half of the last century, his name's Rabbi Stephen Wise. And you know, if you want to know how to grow roses, and you can't, your roses die, but your neighbor has a fabulous rose garden, the sensible person goes to the neighbor and finds out what he does to grow roses. And Jews have flourished in the last two centuries, while we have withered, and we look to them for instruction. And Rabbi Stephen Wise always emphasized American Jews that they had been Americans for only about 150 years, but they had been Jews for 3,500 years. And it was more important to be a Jew than an American. And that's really the right way to look at it. Rabbi Wise was correct, and we should do the same thing. We should look at our heritage and not hate our heritage. My father is a descendant of a general in the American Revolution, General Pickens, and all of our ancestors fought. I mean, I've sent for a number of people who fought for the colonists against our mother country. I've looked in vain for anybody in our ancestry that ever fought for England, and none of them. But anyhow, but he used to point out, he was a moderate monarchist, and he felt that it was he felt the revolution was a mistake. And he pointed out something that I have thought of thousands of times. And that is, he said, it's worth having a monarchy, even with one with no power, it's just for show, like in Britain, as it is today. He said, for no other reason that when you're in the United Kingdom and you walk into a post office, it's Queen Elizabeth's picture on the wall and not some vote-grubbing politician who's in for 4 years and then out at the end of his term. And I think that's absolutely true. That's obviously true. But, you know, I would rather have Queen Elizabeth's picture in the post office than any president I've ever lived under in my lifetime. Certainly more than Biden and Clinton and Bush. You know, it's nice to have somebody who is the picture head of the country, who doesn't run in elections and grub for votes and this kind of thing, and can behave with dignity, you know, as Queen Elizabeth did. So anyway, I think of that all the time. Every time I go into a post office and see a picture of Clinton or Carter, Nixon,
well,
I'd rather have Clinton's picture.
That's a great observation there. I like that. Well,
it sure is.
I know our church is going to have a patriotic ceremony this Sunday. And they're having another program in the evening with patriotic music. I wouldn't go within 100 yards of that. Or no, 100 miles. Let me back it up, because I could hear it at 100 yards away, 100 miles of that. Because I know they're going to be playing Yankee Doo-Doo and the Battle Hymn of the Repugnant. And either one of those songs just start my teeth to grind it. And first of all, the Battle Hymn of the Repugnant wasn't a hymn. It was a war propaganda song. And to hear about somebody tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored, I think of this fat, lanky woman stomping around in a vat and stomping on Southerners. And that's my mental image of the Battle Hymn of the Repugnant. And that's why I don't sing that.
Well, guys, we have to go to our last break of the last hour. We'll be right back, people, after this great break. Go back to Mr. Sam Nixon and or Gene the Bitter Ender. Be right back, folks.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
In the morning. Smells like victory. Some folks are born
made to wave the flag. Dear Blood River Radio audience, we turn this mic over to Gene. Gene's going to bring Sam in to talk about states' rights. Go ahead, Gene. Bring us back, fella.
Well, this is an interesting subject. You know, Southerners, we all believe in states' rights, that the states should run our government and not this federal empire out of D.C. But then Sam brought up a good point that when you have a major crisis, that's sometimes not the best political philosophy. And I want him to explain that and give a couple of those examples that he gave that we were talking about during the break. So, Sam, tell us why us Southerners are not on the right track with states' rights.
I have to confess that three of my great-grandparents are from New England. So yeah, I have a lot of New England Puritan in me, and most Southerners don't like that at all. But anyway, the South lost because of states' rights. You know, it was a revolutionary situation that required a government that would take revolutionary action. And we didn't have that. We had a very weak government that was unable to cope with it. It was some of those shocking examples. One of the things that just makes me ill is what happened in my own city of Atlanta. There was a woman named Dillon, Martha Dillon, who was from the top ranks of Atlanta society. I met a couple of her descendants, and they're still very spiffy people. But she organized the women of Atlanta and organized the hospital corps to take care of the wounded as the Yankees moved in on Atlanta, and they converted buildings into hospitals, and the women were there. It was sort of like what you see in the movie, Gone with the Wind. And this our idiot Governor Brown, who's a great believer in states' rights, came up from Milledgeville, which is then the state capital, to see what was going on as the Yankees were besieging Atlanta. And he went into one of these hospitals, and he was outraged to find out that Georgia money was being spent on boys from Mississippi and Texas. He said, "We believe in states' rights. This is Georgia. Let them take care of their own wounded. Get them out of here. Get them out of here." And he ordered the wounded who were defending our city taken out of the hospitals. That really happened. You know, and throughout the war, you had these governors sabotaging the national government, obstructing conscription. When Jefferson Davis arrived in North Carolina with the government and they were fleeing from Richmond, you know, the reason Lee had to surrender at Appomattox was that they were out of food. They didn't have any food. And the soldiers hadn't been fed for 2 days. My great-grandfather left a memoir about that. He had nothing to eat for 2 days. He was grateful the Yankees gave him something to eat. But But he arrived in North Carolina, and the governor was there and showed them around all the warehouses where North Carolina had protected its own food because they believed in states' rights. They had warehouses of hams and barrels of wheat and all this stuff that they had held back because of states' rights. And you know, in an urgent situation, you can't have states' rights. And you, any political philosophy has to be adapted to the facts on the ground. If you don't do that, then you're a fanatic, you're a Marxist, or a French revolutionary. And throughout history, I gave an example we were talking off the air. In Russia, in 1380, a battle took place, one of the greatest battles in human history. We know nothing about it because our history is censored by our enemies, and we're not told what we need to know. But it was the Battle of Kulikova Field. And the white Christians defeated the Mongol horde. And drove the yellow people back across the Urals and broke Russia free from 2 centuries of gruesome suffering at the hands of Asiatics. The only way that victory was possible was through a czarist system where you had absolute power. And Dmitry Donskoy, who was the man that led this, who was the Grand Duke of Muscovy and the founder of the institution of Tsardom, he sent the word out throughout Russia. You will come, you will bring your talent, they will be armed, you'll bring your horses for the cavalry, you will bring guns, and you will do what I tell you to do, and we're going to get these Mongols out of our country. He could have done that if you'd had 30 different states all having to be consulted and being run by fools like Governor Brown in Georgia or the governor of North Carolina. What's coming down upon our people now is going to require massive government power to get us out. The majority of children in Georgia now under the age of 18 are non-whites. All over the country, we are facing a colonization of our country by non-whites who are being indoctrinated to hate us. The organizations like La Raza, the B'nai B'rith, the National Association of Advancement of Colored People, these groups exist to picket the scabs and foment hatred of us. And we're facing a situation, Gene and I will be gone. We'll be gathered under our fathers. But a lot of people listening, their children are going to live through this. And the only way out of this is going to be through the strongest possible central government that will take charge and do what will have to be done for our people to survive. It cannot be done through states' rights.
That is a very interesting point to make there. I had read that before when Lee's army was forced into the trenches around Petersburg and Richmond, and that winter of 1864-65 was so brutally cold, and they were in these trenches filling up with water and snow and slush and ice, and they were barefoot, and they were wearing rags that would barely keep the winter wind out. And yet in North Carolina, just as you said, there were warehouses full of food. There were warehouses full of shoes, boots, uniforms, winter coats. And was it Governor Vance of North Carolina would not release that to the Army of Northern Virginia that was fighting the war in Virginia and trying to keep it from coming to North Carolina. And he wouldn't release all those supplies that could have relieved the suffering of Lee's army, and they would ship some up there, but it was only for North Carolina troops. And forget about the troops from Maryland and Virginia and Tennessee and Georgia and South Carolina that were starving and freezing in those trenches because they weren't from North Carolina. Sorry, too bad. So
it's unbelievable.
That's amazing.
You know, we cut our own throats.
You have to work real hard to be that dumb, Gene. You really have to work real hard to be that.
Yes, you do.
Or, excuse me, let me correct you there. You have to be real dumb to do that. Or be in the Biden administration. Either one of those would cover that. So.
Yes.
Well, they're not stupid.
I have a quick question.
People like Garland know exactly what they're doing. They hate us. They want to destroy us. Garland is motivated by his upbringing. He hates us because of centuries, an indoctrination of about centuries of grievances that his people have or think they have against us. You know, in 1898, when we went to war with Spain, in another ploy by the military industrial complex, the fraud about the Spaniards had blown up the Maine, which is just a ludicrous lie. The Jewish Forward, which is a major newspaper in New York, ran an editorial endorsing the war because of Ferdinand and Isabella and what they had done in 1492. They had been nursing this grievance and talking about it in their synagogues, hating Spaniards for centuries. And Garland hates us.
Thank God.
Garland looks at us, and he sees us as the crusaders that burned the synagogues. He sees us as the people that lynched Leo Frank. We're the people that drove the Jews out of Spain in 1492. He has a whole suitcase of hate and grievances that he carries around with him. He's not dumb. He's evil. He is full of hatred.
Yeah.
Sam, I have a quick question.
Yeah, that is a more correct definition. Yeah, the dumb people are the ones that believe all the garbage coming out of Washington. That's the problem. And they're the ones that vote.
Yeah, but then line up.
I got this quick question. Sam, is it possible, and today, before we get loose, run out of time, and today, with white people in the United States, especially in the South, with the mindset we have, would it be possible if a strong man, God willing, say like Adolf Hitler, a super strong man could rise up and galvanize the states, the white people in these United States or the South, and bring us together like the Tsar did in Russia that you said that kicked out the godless yellow hordes? Is it possible for a strong man to come up and unite us and do what it's going to take to have the stomach to do what it takes to kick these dark hordes the hell out of our country? Is that possible, Sam?
Well, I think it is. You chose about the worst possible example to sell our product, Hitler. But, throughout history, you've had people that came forward, heroes that came forward when needed. Sir Francis Drake, who defeated the Armada and prevented the Spaniards from conquering England. You had people like this, and they're undoubtedly, as the Confederate poet, I forget his name now, said about the monuments to the South, the shaft is in the marble. There are people out there that I'm sure their kids growing up, their teenagers, their 12-year-old boys in the prep schools, who will lead us out. Our role is to prepare the ground, is to get people to change their way of thinking, to waken people from their sleep, to make them see reality, see the FBI for what the FBI is. To see the Biden administration, to see Anderson Cooper for the incredible, vicious liar that he is. To understand that these people hate us and they want us dead. I firmly believe that large numbers of these people, NPR journalists, New York Times journalists, people like Garland, they would happily take us out into the Katyn Wood, like Stalin did the Polish Officer Corps, and put a bullet. Not merely you, no. Three of us.
No doubt.
I'm just ordinary garden variety white people. They would go to the prep schools and take the teenage guys out and put a bullet in the back of their head. They are full of hate. Hate motivates them. They love to call us haters. But have you ever heard anybody say anything as goofy as the Jewish Forward about, we got to go to war with Spain to get even for what happened in 1492, 406 years ago? any white Christian people that go around with that kind of attitude? But they do. I witnessed
that. That is a good one.
Thank you, Sam. It's been an honor and a pleasure, as always.
Thank you both of y'all. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Sam, for. And we got to get you back on again, Sam, as soon as possible. God bless you guys. God bless you, Blood River Radio family. And thank you so much, Lizzie, for having us on. Well, good night, everybody. Listen, I almost forgot. Next week, we will be pre-recording the program in South Carolina on a Friday. And I'll be up here having a good time. So see y'all. Be back live the 15th. Good night, everybody.